Wow, Texas Tech has fired their football coach. Matt Wells, who left Utah State to go to Texas Tech, he had not been there very long. 13-17 in his third season. They were 5-3 this year. There has to be more to this story.
Right? He's improved.
Yeah. Sonny Cumbie will take over as interim coach, so there has to be something that is not on the scoreboard related. Wow. It is that time of the year. There's a lot of heat on Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech. And here's Scott Frost.
What's the keys to success when you get down in that part of the field?
I think you just got to be able to run base stuff and get it in. You have to be able to block. Just speaking for us, I can't speak for everybody. Our basic stuff has to be a little better so we get more yards on just our basic stuff. Just means we need to block a little better, run a little better. You always go into game with some schemes to try to scheme something into the end zone. Obviously, there was a 9 overtime game in the league. I don't think you ever have enough for something like that. But you can't have 20 of those, or you're wasting a lot of time practicing on that. So I think really it comes down to just being efficient in what you do and being a little better at it. There's good defenses in the league, though. I mean,
you talked some last week about just sort of your setup for the bye week. What did you think of your guys when you got them back today? And how much of a jump did you get on Purdue then over the last couple of days on the staff?
Yeah, as a staff, we got a lot of time to watch them. Obviously, then we watched the Wisconsin game yesterday several times, and it helps. Thought the guys had more of a spring in their step again. They were a little worn down and tired. That's natural with 8 straight weeks and starting a week early. So I think it was good for our guys just to get refreshed.
How are you feeling after the bye week?
Refreshed. Got some rest. Excited to get back after it.
The 9 overtime games. What do you think of that new rule where you switch to 2-point conversions after the third one?
It made for an interesting game. I had anxiety watching that game. You know, you'd run out of things to call. They both good teams, and somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. They're trying to shorten a game, and they got a 9 overtime game. But that's the rules. It was good for us as a coaching staff to see that just to make sure we can be ready for it.
How's Adrian coming off the bye?
He's good. He's going to be 100%. He's been dealing with quite a bit of stuff and fighting through stuff, and he's a warrior for doing it. He'll be a full go.
Purdue's a team that tests the secondary. What's the status, if you can say, with Deontay this week, or just how do you battle them with your secondary being perhaps down a bit?
Yeah, Deontay will be back this season. I don't know when. You always want to have everybody up when you're playing a team like this. They're going to throw a lot of stuff at you. You have to be ready. You have to be disciplined. And they got some good players everywhere, but definitely a receiver that can beat you. So we got to have eyes on him. And got to cover well and try to get to the quarterback. I think Purdue would have had a good chance Saturday. I think they turned it over 5 times. It's hard to win that way. So I don't expect that we'll get that same effort from them. Expect them to come in ready to go. And another good Big Ten team that'll be a battle.
How impressive was that? Was that performance they had against Iowa 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams in the league, and I think any week, any team can win. It usually comes down to a few plays here and there. Purdue made the plays in that game for sure. Bell made a lot of those plays, and everything just kind of went the right way for them that day. They played a heck of a game. We got to expect that Purdue team to come in here.
You guys have obviously faced talented players of all kinds, but you're on a run here where I think four in a row, if you include Ohio State next week, face a really talented pass rusher. I guess just generally speaking, what does George Karlaftis do well, and how much pressure can a guy like that put on an offense and a play caller?
He's a good player. He's one of the better players that we've played. I think he's got good guys around him, too. Across the board, I think they're good pass rushers. Really impressed with their Sam linebacker, number six. They're a good defense. They've really become one of the better defenses in the league, in my opinion, watching them on tape. You got to know where Karlaftis is all the time and account for him. And we got to battle and do the best we can.
How has Mark Buford progressed? I know he's a freshman, prep school freshman, but how has he progressed? He may get a chance to play a little bit more.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's one of those kids that came in mature and ready to attack. You know, I always say that's the mark of a freshman that's going to play early isn't necessarily talent. It's how quickly they grow up and become adults and good teammates and do little things right. And he came in that way. So I'm excited about him right now and in the future.
Casey Rogers said that Brant Banks was back at practice today. How does he look, and what role might he play for you guys on the stretch?
Yeah, Brant's back. That's good. Always good to have more guys that have played and can do it. We'll see where he factors in going down the stretch.
With a guy like Thomas Fedoni, as he comes back and takes some of the rust off of practice and all that, do you ideally for him? Do you try to prescribe a situation where maybe you can get him in, or do you throw him back in the mix and say, hey, if you can, you know, get back in our rotation for a couple games?
Yeah, I'm really excited about Thomas. He's still shaking a little bit of rust off. He's missed a lot of reps and some of the stuff we're doing. When he's ready to play and gives us as good or better chance to win as the other guys, he'll be out there. So he's got a really bright future, and we'll see how quick that comes.
How much ground did you guys cover on the recruiting trail, and what kind of feedback did you get being out on the road for the first time in a while?
Yeah, it's great. How many days did you say it was?
Over 620 days.
620 days. All the coaches hit the road. I went to a high school in a game. The response was awesome. I was just talking to Barrett Root about this morning, and he's stuck mostly local during recruiting, but the response they got from coaches and administrators and students, I think people are enjoying watching this team. I think they're proud of this team. We got to get it over the hump, but I was really encouraged to hear the response and reaction that coaches said they got on the road. And really tough recruiting without being able to go out and evaluate and go out and get in front of coaches and get into high school. So we needed this, and it's a good first step.
Is it reassuring? I mean, knowing that the results when losses haven't been there, but yet you guys go out in all different ways and you're getting positive feedback.
Yeah, that's encouraging. We beat ourselves up pretty bad. We've come up, just an inch short too many times. When I look at it, the progress is obvious. The team's playing hard. We're playing more physical. We're bigger, faster, stronger. There's some areas we need to fix. But I think people are recognizing the type of team we have and the level we're playing at. And it's up to us to make the plays when it counts to get it over the hump.
Is there a mental
hurdle that you feel like your team has to clear? It feels like you can see around the corner, and it's almost like bringing them around the corner with you. Is there a last mental hurdle you'd like to see them clear before they become the team you think they can be?
Yes, and I think that's pretty accurate. You know, human beings are habitual, and when you're used to winning, I think winning comes a little easier. When you're not there yet, I think it's a little harder, and maybe you're waiting on it to happen instead of making it happen. And I do think that little bit of extra confidence or just knowing it's going to happen rather than hoping could probably take us the next step. So we're trying to be as psychological with the guys as we can. But they believe how good a team they are. Now it's just a matter of making the play when it counts and when it matters the most.
You're a pretty even-keeled guy. Are you tempted to push the mad button ever with them, or do you feel like that would be? Does that make sense?
I'm tempted in here sometimes. No, we don't let you guys into practice for a lot of reasons. That's one of them, because we do hit the mad button sometimes. I hit it on Wednesday. I put him in a lot of situations Wednesday with simulating the game on the line and just to try to help them experience that even more. Not that we haven't done that before, but just continue to try to put them in competitive situations. This one matters. Can we count on you when it counts? We did a lot of really good things. We did a couple dumb things, and I wasn't happy about it. So there's a time and a place for that. And certain coaches we have on staff are better at hitting the mad button than others. But they're getting the players to play hard. This team believes how good they are, and we got another really good opponent coming in here, so we get another chance.
There's a certain former head coach here, who used to save his desire for game day, like get right on the field right at that moment. You find that to be unproductive to get to lose it at that moment during the battle?
Yeah, I think in general, I don't want to comment on anybody before me, but I think in general, a team takes on the characteristics of its leaders, leaders that are players, leaders that are position coaches, and leaders that are head coaches. And if leaders aren't staying cool, then it's hard for the team to stay cool. So I think game day is the time you should feel confident in the preparation. You should feel ready, and that's probably when you should be your calmest while being really fired up to play. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, we apologize a little bit for the buffering issues, but that's the head coach post bye one ahead of Purdue. A couple of things in there. The discussion about the red zone offense, which has been an issue for Nebraska. They have had trips into the red zone 8 times in the last 24 where they've come up empty. They do have 11 touchdowns in that 24, but any time into the red zone that you come up empty, 0 points, not even 3, is not good for this team, which has trouble scoring. But the last 4 games of the offense, they cannot leave points on the field. When they get there, they got to find a way to put points on the board. Not really any discussion, if at all, today, or I did not catch it, on Connor Culp and what that'll be like on Saturday. All of a sudden, that just didn't disappear. That is still for Minnesota until he's out kicking again or somebody else is out kicking again. But why is Nebraska not better in the red zone at just some of the basic stuff? Love for them to utilize Austin Allen more. But it makes it a lot easier when you can just line up and run the football, and we know that is not the case consistently for Nebraska. But just the simple basic stuff. Scott's kind of entered, if you listen to players and what their bye week was like, that they did more high-pressure situations on the number one offense against the number one defense, is what kind of an impact that will have. But did they know the simple reasons on why you can't do the basic stuff? Just line up and run the football or not shoot yourself into the foot, in your foot. They were out on the road recruiting. As Scott alluded to, they got positive feedback, which I think this staff and, I mean, when you're at Nebraska, you have relationships across the country. Nebraska's still a brand. You walk in to a school and you have the polo on. People know what that N is. And most coaches outside of, inside and outside of the state, they're very appreciative of Nebraska coaches coming in. And this current staff has connections all over the country. That's great. The positive feedback is great. What Nebraska needs is not for Joe Coach when you walk in and go, "Hey, Mario, welcome back." What Nebraska needs is that, but they also need, at Joe Coach's school, his four-star quarterback or four-star defensive end to say yes to Nebraska. That's where Nebraska is in recruiting. If you're trying to base off of what the future, who's buying into the future, optimism for the future, I look at a place like Mizzou. Mizzou thought they would be much better than they currently are, and they may finish 4-8 in Eli Drinkwitz's second season. But what he has done in recruiting, most recently going to St. Louis and getting the number one wide receiver in the country, that person is buying into your program. They're saying, "I see a future there. I'm optimistic." So even though the season's not going well, you can say, there are people that are buying in. So Nebraska needs that in the finale of this recruiting class before signing day. It may come in the portal, but that's the greater unknown. High school, junior college players, and it's going to be junior college players. There's no real high school player that is out there. Reese Mooney is going to announce where he's going to go to school, and he's a quarterback in the class of 23, still off down the road. But Nebraska, to have some inspire confidence for next year, they need somebody who's a game changer to say yes. They can go out and they can make offers and they can entertain them and kick the tires, but they need somebody to say yes. Now, the last question that was asked, which I think was a really good question by Sam. We talk a lot about body language. Can somebody just get angry? It's almost like guys are hesitant, players are hesitant to go full throttle after losses, to be angry. I kind of started to see that from defensive guys. JoJo Doman wanted to go there after the Minnesota game. And I think he was very cognizant of his words have a lot of power to them, and he didn't. Maybe he did it behind closed doors, and that would be great if he did. But the question was asked about being mad. You want to see Scott light somebody up? Show emotion. What I would like to see, you don't need to pace back and forth on the sidelines and just steaming. But I just want a sense of urgency where it's not, we're close, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'd like to see a sense of urgency of, okay, if we're close, how come it's not happening? What do we got to do to make it happen? Do we got to make changes? Do we have different people in different places? What do we have to do? That's what I want to see in the last 4 weeks is a sense of urgency. Because you're running out of opportunities. You only have four opportunities to play. You don't need to be punching walls, even though I said last week, like to see somebody just lose it. That makes others feel uncomfortable. They're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, you know why I'm upset. But just across the board, a sense of urgency. That there is nothing given about next year. Hey, I might be a four-star quarterback or a four-year starting quarterback, but there's no given that I'm going to be the starting quarterback next year. A sense of urgency. Hey, I may have been told I'm coming back next year as the head coach, or I don't know. Doesn't matter. I coach with a sense of urgency instead of, it's okay, we're getting close, we're doing better things, it's going to happen. Well, you're running out of opportunities to make it happen. And some guys are running out of opportunities in their career at Nebraska. It's almost over. I mean, you might walk out the door and never have gone to a bowl game. Think about that. You may have played here for 5 years and never gone to a bowl game. That's tough. That's tough. That's tough to come back. And you might go to the NFL. But hey, on an off weekend, I'd like to come back to my alma mater. You come back and people are like, oh. Never have gone to a bowl game? So I'm just clamoring for a sense of urgency in words and actions. More in actions. Because I think this team still has this problem. And it's a football problem. I mean, I think it's a Kansas City Chief problem. Teams that are struggling, even teams that are successful. How do you see yourself as a football team? And then, does it match? Is it a long way away? Has exceeded what you've shown so far? I do believe that the Chiefs see themselves as something different than what they are. But what they've shown is right now they're a bad football team that may be broken. There are bad teams, and then there are teams that are playing bad. But in Nebraska's case, I think they see themselves exactly how they are. Team that is 3-5, could be better, but a team that is 3-5 that has been their own worst enemy. And they've got nobody else to blame. So you haven't been able to show that of what you think you were. I bet if you asked this question the Monday before Minnesota, you'd get a different answer than you get the Monday before Purdue. How do you see yourself? See yourself as a good football team that unfortunately is 3-4, but we've shown that we can be good. We see ourselves as a much better team. We see ourselves as the second best team in the West, which after Michigan, I did as well. Now, 2 weeks later, how do you see yourself? See ourselves as kind of the same team. Who's shown now we are what our record says. There's a lot of teams that, you ask Georgia, who really, Georgia has no complement to what they're doing. There's nobody that's doing consistently week in and week out what Georgia's been able to do. Georgia had the weekend off. They got Florida in Jacksonville in the cocktail party this weekend. They're a 14.5-point favorite. That's a big game for Dan Mullen, who's now starting to get some heat. But the winner of that game has won and covered six straight. Georgia's a 14.5-point favorite. But I bet if you ask Kirby Smart, how do you see your team? How do you see what your team is? He would say, we're elite. What have they shown? We're elite. That's a great position to be in. Because how you see your team and what you've shown on that level is exactly the same. Compared to how do you see your team? I think we're good. I think we're close. I think we have some good pieces. But we have some basic stuff that we haven't been able to do in key situations. Okay? What have you shown? Kind of everything that you just said, right? Or do you think Nebraska sees themselves as a much better team than what they've shown? I don't know. I think that has kind of evened out post-Minnesota. All right, Mike Schaefer will join us next. We'll get his thoughts and some of the nuggets that he has gained in talking in the hallways down in Lincoln ahead of Purdue. 2:30 kickoff, Kelly Stauffer is back on ESPN2. Next week against Ohio State's up in the air. Will not be a night game, 11 a.m., 2:30 or 3, and still no network. KATV, I'm sure, is pushing to get Ohio State, Nebraska, which in the past has drawn really good numbers. I mean, it's two brands. It's the biggest brand in college athletics in Ohio State and a very solid brand for Nebraska on TV. I'm sure KTV's going, hey, you know what? Be nice to have another game on KTV. But Ohio State is up in the air. Last hour of this Monday edition of the Gary Sharp Show coming up next.